Okay, so what I wanted to discuss, as I mentioned in the email, is I'm not going to get to the din of schirus that tells on Samach Tes because we have enough to say on the question of Parnassus Habas, and that's the theme basically of these dapim going back really to the Mishnah on Samach Zion and continuing through Samach Tes all the way to the Mishnah on Samach Tes and Beis, is the issue of Parnassus Habas or Nidunya, and basically. The question is, where does it come from? And there's an assumption here, and really going back to the Mishnah Samach Zion, and I'll have to take a look there, where the Mishnah says, Hamasi es bito stam lo yifchos la michamishim zuz. If a person is marrying off his daughter, you shouldn't give her anything less than 50 zuz. And then the Mishnah goes on, he doesn't have to give her, it's not like we force her. It's not like we force the father to give him. If the father has a Tanai Pasak Lachnis Aruma, he says, I'm not going to provide for any clothing, meaning I'm not going to provide anything for her. So then there's a halacha that applies there that the Baal has to already start providing before. But this is the idea that we, ideally, it should be provided, and the Mishnah continues if the father has died, so if, and the family has no money, so the Gabai Tzedakah, they're supposed to provide for the girl. That's it says in the Mishnah, Hechein Amasi, it says, Soma lo yuchas lam chamishim zuz. And if the tzedakah, if the collection of the community has more money, so then they should provide, you know, what she needs. And then moving on to the next Mishnah, in which is really where I think most of us are holding, Samach Ches Min Aleph, talks about situations where a girl dies, where a father dies, and the family does have money. And then what's the halacha in that situation? Here too, the father could have stipulated before he died somewhere in the Gemara. I actually forgot right now where in the Gemara, but at some point it says clearly in the Gemara that the father could say. Can make a tzivui to his family that he shouldn't provide anything for her. So again, we can't force him into this, but there seems to be an understanding that the father is going to provide for the girl to be able to get married. So the question is, where does this come from? And the source for this is really back in the Gemara on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. I got this through the Rambam in the Salacha, and also Kalem points out the Gemara on Nun Beis, but really here in this sugya already, it's clear that this is related to our Gemara from the Rishonim Achronim in Anun Beis. So the Gemara, the Mishnah Anun Beis, is talking about the din of Ksubas Benin Dicher. So that is the halacha that when a Chazal or Misakin that in the Ksuba, so a man gets married to a woman, so Reuben is married to Sarah, and they have children together. So the takana is that even if Reuben has a second wife, Rivka, the nechassim that Sarah's father brought into the marriage, so those will get shuttled straight down to Sarah's children in the event that Sarah dies, and it won't get split amongst all of Reuben's children, which would include from Rivka, which is a different family. Meaning, that's the halacha of Ksubas Din Dicher. And that's what the Mishnah says here, and even if you don't write it in, it applies. So the Gemara says, Anun Beis and Beis, right, the beginning of the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, so why did Chazal make this takana? Why did Chazal establish that you should set up the ksuba in this way? Agav ksumas benin dichrin. Oh, actually, let's see right here. So the Gemara says, "Kedei she yikbots adam v'yichov levito kivno." So the idea would be this would be an incentive for a man to write money, basically in the dunya, the dowry, to provide money to his daughter, provide the same amount that he would provide for his sons. And the Rishonim explain, Rashi explains that if before you had Ksubas Benin Dicherin, so a man would be worried that if he writes away his money to his daughter, well, what if his daughter dies, the husband is Yorish, a woman, his wife, so the husband is Yorish, and then the husband has children from other wives, let's say, the husband remarries, and the money is going to get out of his family, it's going to go to people that are not his descendants, so he doesn't want his money getting passed on potentially to people that aren't his descendants. So the Chazal and Masach Ksubas Benin Dicherin that basically would keep the possessions, the stuff that the father gives his daughter in their family, with their blood relatives. Agav, the Rush here is a very interesting discussion, a bit of a sociological discussion, but the Rush starts talking, quotes Gaonim, who say that maybe this shouldn't apply anymore because the realities have changed. The Gaonim point out that apparently it became the practice that not only was it commonplace for women to get, for men, for the fathers to provide for the daughters, they'd even go even above and beyond, they'd pay even more into the daughter's marriage as opposed to their sons. which then the Achronim aren't so happy with that. He shouldn't give more to the daughter than the sons. It should be equal. That's what the Gemara wants to happen. So the Rishonim say, we don't need Tzuvah Benin Dichron anymore. There's no reason, there's no need to have this. And others say, no, that was the Takanah Chazak, Tzuvah Benin Dichron, we're not going to change it. And in Shulchan Aruch, if you look at source number one, on the Din of Tzuvah Benin Dichron, so the Ramah writes, those who say that Ksubas ben Dichron is not done nowadays, the Ikra Takana Isagadeshitain Adam Levita Kivno. The whole reason for the Takana was, as we just read in the Gemara, so that a man would provide to his daughter for her to get married like he provides for his sons. V'ashav Noagim Litain Levas Yoser V'Yoser. Everyone, I don't know, the guys are very into their daughters. So the men provide a lot for their daughters, they don't provide for their sons so much. So we don't need a Ksubas ben Dichron anymore. And Chay Noagim V'Dino Seilu, says Ramah. This is a minhag not to provide Ksubas ben Dichron anymore. So this comes right out of the Gemara over here. Yeah, so that's what's a little difficult about this is how can you be ogre takana? So that's a kasha on that sheet. I don't think the Rush himself doesn't discuss it. But it could be something. I mean, we have a takana. It's very clear. We've explicitly stated what the purpose of the takana was. Right. So then it can be undone. Now it's very hard. And that's a little bit of a machlokas. Either the Rishonim say that it's a mefursam, or it was stated within the takana. Within the initial takana, didn't always apply, or the reason was given, you know, in the initial takana. So. Very hard for us to say, standing now in Tosha 9, hey, what was done that way? And to the Rishonim, it's very hard. The Mesupa is like a very, very famous example. Tosos about dancing and clapping and instruments, or at least the dancing and clapping part of it. So Tosos says, since it was done, so because Shemi is saying Kushir, Tosos and Beitza says it doesn't apply anymore. But the other Rishonim don't say that. So the question is, how do you know when to say that? But this is actually very early. This is from the Gaonim, so it could be those Gaonim out of Masora. The Rush quotes from this sheet is from Matisyahu Gaonim. So it could be the Gaonim. We're not so long after the Gemara. Have you liked that one, Matisyahu Gaonim? I've never heard of that either. Me neither. But it quotes from Matisyahu Gaon. You look at the Rush right here on this Gemara, and so it could be they had a Masora that it was just very clear that it only applies when the reason applies. If the concept exists, it's just hard to know when it, you know, min hastam is not that way. So that's the din of Ksubas ben Dichron, and that's the reason for the takana. So the Gemara continues. Umi'ika midi d'rachmana amar bra liros barta lotiros. V'asur abanon misahni d'tiros barta. He says, have we found anywhere that where the Torah says the din d'oraisa says that a son should be yoresh, a daughter should not be yoresh, and comes Chazal, and Chazal say, yeah, the daughter should be yoresh. That's what's going on here. We're putting the girls in a place where it's really the sons should be the ones to be yoresh. That's the Gemara's question. If you have any thoughts, you can raise your hand, but we are going to come back to analyze this question a little bit more. So maybe you want to hold your thoughts, but you can start thinking about that. But I'll go put him, that's the Gemara's kasha. And the Gemara answers, yeah, hanami d'oraisa. No, this is also d'oraisa. This idea of seemingly, of giving the daughters from the nechasim is d'oraisa. D'chsiv, it says in the pasuk, chu nashim, v'holidu banim, should get married and have children, uvenos, chu liv, uvanos, v'holidu banim, uvanos, uchu liv nechem nashim, esbenos echem, tenu la nashim. So you should get, you should give your sons over to women, and you should get your daughters given over to men. Bishlam abanim biyode kaime. Says, I understand to have your sons, it's biyakaime, it's shayach for you to be involved in marrying off your sons. The Rishonim explain, the Achronim touch up, that basically, sociologically, the way it works is, it's the men who are able to go, you know, you go find the girl. Then the girl doesn't usually go catch the guy. Usually the guy goes to catch the girl. So that's the way it works. So the father can help in that process, find the girls that the guy's going to be able to date. This is an old system. It's very, it didn't start in the 20th or 21st century. says, but Ella Bunsei, me kaiman miyode. But how are you going to get marry your daughters off? You have no way of doing it. You're all totally up to the will of the men. So hakamash malan, the nilbasha, the nichsa, the nasev la midi kehecha de kafti Allah, the asu nasbi la. He says, he teaches us, and the pasuk, because the pasuk says you should marry off your daughters. How do you do that? You should dress her up and cover her, give her clothing, and give her things, so that the husbands will jump up and want to marry her. And then the Gemara says, Akama, how much should you give of Ivar of Adam Tavayo out of the Isur Nechase? You should give and up to a tenth of your possessions for this purpose, of your daughter, of having getting your daughter married. Ad Khan the Gemara. For us. So the Gemara says this is the obligation. Seemingly, the Gemara is saying there's an obligation here on the father to ensure that his daughter gets married by providing money. And that's really what our Gemara was all about, as we saw before, is providing money for daughter. And it, like the Gemara had on our daf at Samaches, they're providing the daughter money for your daughter to get married. The idea is to be mekayim this halacha from the pasuk in Yirmiyah, they should marry off your daughters. Now, the Gemara Kiddushin has this as well. If you see in source number 2, the Gemara Kiddushin has the brisa of the mitzvos habein al ha'av, meaning the mitzvos that a father has to do on behalf of his son. And one of them in the brisa is l'hasio isha, as the Gemara says here in source 2, menolon, v'chtiv, chu nashim v'holida banos, v'holida banim banos, v'chu livnechem nashim, v'ez banos echem, t'nula nashim. So our pasuk we just said, Yirmiyah, is quoted as the makor for the din in the brisa and kiddushin, that you have to be involved in marrying off your son to a wife, and the Gemara there says bishlam b'no b'yado. I understand your son b'yado, like our Gemara said, bito b'yado hi. Your daughter is in your hand to have a role in marrying her off. Halikam alhu says Gemara, yeah, that's what you do. Nitan la midi ulav shaya v'nechsaya kihechi dekatzel la Allah, and you give her something, give her some things, and get her clothing, cover up, and that way men will jump up and wanna marry her. So the Gemara Kiddushin basically saying the exact same thing as our Gemara, and it comes out from the Gemara as the Sefer HaMakneh points out in source number 3 in Kiddushin, Mashma mehacha d'chiyav al ha'av lehasi es bino kmo es bino. There's a mitzvah for the father to make sure that his daughter gets married just like he makes sure his son gets married. That's the whole idea of the Nidunya, is the method for which to be mekayim this halacha that you should marry off your daughter, and that's the source for all the discussion in our Gemara in the sixth parak. The Machna raised an interesting issue. He says, "Hadin nakar." If you keep on going, we left off. Hadin nakar kol mitzvos habein al ha'av hainu melamdo Torah hainu. Oh, so he says kol mitzvos habein al ha'av. Why doesn't it say mitzvos habas? I mean, the mitzvah l'hasio isha, or to have the opposite for your daughter, applies both ways. So why does the Mishnah only say mitzvah habein al ha'av? Why does it only say the mitzvah that you have to do for your sons? The heading of the brisa should be mitzvah you have to do for your daughters, your sons and daughters. So he says, no, ha'inu malam do toro she'inu ol v'ven. Yeah, because some things are only in the son. V'lo v'basa v'l ha'siya chayiv, and the other ones first two are also bris mila and pidyon ha'ben, which are also only shayach to the son. That's why the Mishnah says, the Brisa, sorry, says it that way, but really, your chayev, as the pasuk says, your chayev for your daughter as well. And then he goes on, he has a suffix, what about umnus? That's another thing in the list there, you have to teach your son umnus. So does that apply to daughter also? You have a chayev to teach your daughter profession. So and he has the whole piece there. Is an arichus on that nekuda. This just reminded me of my first son's bris when I misexplained this Mishnah, and Rabbi Willig apparently called me out on it, although I didn't hear from, but he called me out on it from the seats. But it says in the brisa, l'fdoso. So I don't know, I was thinking about pidyon ben, even though I was going to be making a pidyon ben, but the first pidyon, I don't know, the first thing that comes to mind is pidyon shvuyon. I thought it was stavar, you know, your son gets taken captive, you have a chiyuv to, that's not really mitzvah ben al-av, it's just mitzvah in everyone. So I mischanted the time, Rabbi Willig muttered at the table where he was, pidyon ben, but okay. Learned it the hard way. I saw I was learning the sugya. Actually, yesterday I was looking at this. I was yesterday morning. My wife took my two older kids out, so I was learning at home while my youngest son slept. And a kids' day at the Svarim, so yesterday they had a very nice time. So I was trying to think what Svarim do I have on Kiddushin, see if there's anything interesting here, because I was, you know, learning the Svarim and Ksubis, but what's in Kiddushin? So I have the Sefer Aliva Demes from Yonatan Emet from Shalvim, Shabbat Fur Shlema. If you didn't go to Shalvim, I don't know, but my brother went to Shalvim, so he was close to him. So I bought the Sefer. He has a Sefer called Mitzos HaBein Al-Hav, and he goes through the six Mitzos that are HaBein Al-Hav, and he has a little piece there, and he points out the Achronim raise a question on this halacha. The riff, this, I mean, it's a brisa, lists six things: bris mila, pidin haben, talmud torah, lasio isha, umnus, and I think the sixth one is to swim. I remember that's the sixth one. That's definitely this machlokes is about the sixth one. Yeah, to swim. So the and it's actually in Perashat Mishnayos. In the next Makar, you can see it there. So those things are listed. So the Rambam has in Perashat Mishnayos right there, as he says, you read in source number 4, Mitzvos HaBein Al-Av, Sheish Mitzvos Elohein, and then he goes through the list. So there's six Mitzvos. And the Rif brings it down, the Rush brings it down. But the Achronim point out that the Rambam doesn't mention it. Hilchos, it doesn't really mention it anywhere. He doesn't mention that there's a Chiyuv L'Hasio Isha. We'll see the Rambam mentions the idea of an Adunya. But it doesn't even say explicitly, it doesn't say there's a mitzvah to marry off your daughter. He just says you should give an adunya. In the Yad HaChazaka, in the Yad HaChazaka, sorry. Right, if you look down, at source number 8, the Rambam, it says, Tzivu Chachamim sheyiten adam menechasav na'at levito. Chachamim said you should give some of your possessions to your daughter, kedesha tinasevo. So she'll get married. Zehu Hanikra Parnasa, that's Parnasa that we have in our Gemara. So the Rambam, it's very Derech Agav. That's the only mention of, or one of the only mentions of marrying off your daughters and your sons. And likewise, the Lamda Umnus, the Rambam doesn't really say anywhere that you have a mitzvah to teach your son Umnus. And Shulchan Aruch also, the Shulchan Aruch follows the lead of the Rambam, but it's strange because the Rif and the Rush, maybe the Rambam was Hoser Mishnah Torah. Doesn't seem that way, so what's going on exactly? What's the problem in the Rambam? So the Binyan Sion was asked this question of Yaakov Etlinger, and he has a tshuva, and he says that, well, you look at the Rambam really does mention it. He mentions it Derech Agav, and the Rambam has a different halacha where he's talking about, in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, where he's talking about the halachos of when of Puravu and when you should get married, not necessarily it's not in the sugya of the mitzvahs ha'ava abein, but in that sugya, which we may have mentioned this Rambam actually back when we were talking about the Puravu sugyas, but in that sugya, I have a Rambam here, and a Rambam. But in that halacha, the Rambam says, and there's a mitzvah to marry him off samach l'pirka. So he just throws in Derech Agav in terms of the age of getting married in Puravu. He says, oh yeah, and the father should marry the children off. So he says, okay, but fine. He mentioned Derech Agav, he didn't mention here. And what about Lamda Umnus? So Binyan Sion says, well, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach, so in Hilchos Rotzeach Perakei, I think Halacha Hei, so he says that the Rambam says, oh, you're not chayav for hitting someone you're hitting your son to teach him Torah, or teach him umnus. So if you kill him, he's talking about it there. If you kill him, you're not chayav. And so the implication is just like limud Torah, which the Rambam clearly says you have a mitzvah to teach your son Torah. So too umnus is a mitzvah, and that's why you wouldn't be chayav for killing him if you accidentally killed him by hitting him in that context. So you see, very derech agav, but at least the Rambam took care of it. And he wanted to chop it with other things. That's been in Tzion says. But still, Tzarchian, the Rambam really doesn't mention it here, because it's still hard to understand. So Rav Emmet then quoted from a Sefer Biurim V'Ha'aros, one of these Likud Tzvarim I may have seen around in different Masechtos, just like contemporary Sefer brings out a lot of different things, but I looked in the Hakdama, he said most of the Shtickel Torahs he has there, he heard from the Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, when he was young. This guy's a Rebbe and a Ger, not a guy, Talmud Chacham is a Rebbe in a Ger Yeshiva in Ashdod. And he writes in Akdam, he said, most of the Divrei Torah here I heard from the Beis Yisrael, the Amor Beis Yisrael Migur when I was young learning by him. And apparently it was his Yartzeit on Shabbos, I think, the Ger of the Beis Yisrael. So okay, we're all in the same time. So he suggests a different shot. He says that What does the Rambam count? The Rambam counts as a mitzvah to do a bris milah on your son, to pidyon aben on your son. I mean, a list, sorry, Mishnah Torah. He lists milah, he lists pidyon aben, he lists lamda Torah. He says, because those have very specific actions. I mean, we know what to do. Bris milah, yeah, there's an action to do. Pidyon aben, there's an action to do. Lamda Torah. You have to teach him the Torah. So there are very specific things you have to do. However, when it comes to this halacha of Hafkiyo Isha, he writes that he says, depends. Some guy, sometimes his son's just going to meet his wife somewhere and the father's not going to have any role. And another time he's going to have to play a very active role. And another time he's going to have to do it by dealing with the parents. Another time he's going to have to do it by dealing directly with the girl. And every situation is going to be different. And the same is true for a daughter. And I don't know if he says this, but the same can be true about Umna. Sometimes you have a guy who's very precocious, so he'll figure it out on his own. And other times, the father's going to have to be very involved in teaching him. And sometimes you're just going to have to pay to hire someone else to teach it. So since these are mitzvos that you can't really write in any way how they're supposed to be done, he says, so the Rambam didn't left it out of Mishnah Torah, because there was no way to express it. Ad Kan, the suggestion over there in that sefer, I don't know if it's from the Ger Rebbe or if it's his, but he wrote in the Hakdamah most of the things are from the Ger Rebbe. Someone, my Chavrusa, Yaakov Grun, pointed out that it's still a little hard to understand. I mean, so better to leave it out completely. I mean, just if you would think, if your options are write something vague, okay, you write some very vague descriptions, you don't know what to do, and leave it out, and assume that you learn Hilchos Rotzeach and some other place that you want to chaf the point, seems a little hard to understand. So, Tzarechi and on the Rambam, why he doesn't mention the Mishnah Torah in kind of a Masudra way like he does for everything else. But those are some suggestions that I saw. But Al Kol Panim, it's clear from the Gemara and Kiddushin, for sure in the Gemara, I mean, it's pretty clear that we hold this way as well, that you have a mitzvah to marry off your sons and mitzvah to marry off your daughters, which is more the context that we're talking about. Now, the question is, what is the tokef? Is that the right word? Strength of the sister? Okay. You have to prepare you. You have to prepare you guys going to Israel soon. So what's the tokef of this mitzvah? So the Gemara, it seems pretty clear in our Gemara, it's Daraisa, right? Because the Gemara came from Akasha. How can you go against the Torah basically and move the Yerusha from the sons to the daughters? And the Gemara said, Hanami Daraisa, we have a pasuk. In Yirmiyahu. So, yeah.
So, it's a little hard to say that it's Daraisa Mom.
Ah, so very good. So let's look at the Ritva. Let's see what you think. You can read the Ritva. Go ahead. I'll take a drink. So what does that mean? Yeah. I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
Well, for the Lochova, you could have a mitzvah. You could have a mitzvah l'chatila. Is it a mitzvah kiyumis? Yeah. So basically, he's saying a mitzvah kiyumis, right? A mitzvah kiyumis. He points out it's clearly not a chova because he quotes the Gemara by us. Some chesman beis that if you want to say right, im amar al tefar alias parnasu benosa menachasav shomen lo kiyus l'kaman b'mechosin. So he says the person says you know to his sons, don't give my daughter anything from my property for her to get married. So you listen, and we saw the missionary on Samach Zayin of Adalf that he could say, you know, I don't want any money to go. I'm not going to, you know, take her without trying anything. So it's obviously not a chi of gomer, but there seems to be a mitzvah kiyumis. But what's this mitzvah daraisa? Divrei Kabbalah? Is it mitzvah daraisa or is it divrei Kabbalah? You pointed out those seem to be two different things.
Well, I mean, there's two issues, right? There's what you mean by the chi of gomer, and there's also the question that we're really asking, which is, right, the Chazal don't generally tell us that go against the Torah, the Ratzon Torah. And so if the Torah says explicitly, right, the sons should get Yerusha, the daughter should not get Yerusha. So it seems like the Chazal are going against the Ratzon Torah to make the Chazal. However, if you can prove it, at least every Kabbalah, there's some kind of, you know, real core Torah idea that would indicate that we should give the chasm over, then suddenly it's not a problem. So how that affects the meaning, you could have different conceptions of what the level is, right? Of the
so we'll let's hold off on those thoughts. I want to first see what the Rishonim say about the Pshat in the Gemara, and then go back to understand the question and answer, what needs to be answered. But I'm going there. You're thinking in the right direction. As far as Pshat in the Ritva, before going back to explaining the Gemara, so I was showing this around to a few guys. So Ariel Diamond and Mati Neuberger both had the same Ha'ara in terms of maybe what to say Pshat in this Ritva is. And that is the following. Mati gave me the Mar Makom. Ariel had the idea first, and then Mati solidified, gave me the Mar Makom that we'll see in a second. That really spells it out. So they both pointed me towards the din of Kavod Shabbos, where the Rambam writes in source number 6, Arba Dvarim Nemru B'Shabbos Shnayim in HaTorah U'Shnayim B'Divrei Sofrim. There are two that are in the Torah, and there are two B'Divrei Sofrim, V'Hein B'Furash and Al-Yedei Nevi'im, Shabbat Torah Zachar V'Shamar. Those are two mitzvahs in the Torah that we have on Shabbos. Shenispar shalai de neviim kavod va'oneg shenemar v'karusel Shabbos oneg v'lekdosh Hashem mechubad. So there's kavod on a Shabbos, which are midivrei sofer. Now the Urayim has an astonishing shot in kavod Shabbos. If you look at source number 7, how do you find the Urayim? Thank you to the Otzer, not the Otzer, the Encyclopedia Talmudis on kavod Shabbos. Help me get to the Urayim. So. But Mati knew of the Urayim, I just didn't know how to find the Urayim. But so he says the following: Amr Neviim, v'chibatom yasos drachecha amr chachamim, v'tzivu lehadlik ner Shabbos lichvot Shabbos, v'as mechu ha'akra, v'yadata gishol ma'olecha, v'kata navecha, right? Navech, remember, v'lo sechata. So Gemara says, that's why I'm ner Shabbos, but explains the Urayim, v'adalo asa Yeshaya, Gemara gemirila. Until Yeshaya came and said this pasuk of Kavod Shabbos was halacha Moshe Misinai, v'asbuchu akra, and they just and Yeshaya came and they gave it, put it on a pasuk. Kedamrina bezvachim perak beis, v'ad lo asi Yecheskel minolad. The Gemara there has a pasuk from Yecheskel, and the Gemara is saying what Yecheskel is din daraisa is Yecheskel, and the Gemara says before Yecheskel it was Gemara Gemiri love asi Yecheskel v'asbuchu akra. And I think the Gemara has a few others as well. With Yecheskel they had halacha Moshe Misinai, so Yecheskel spoke out. It says the Urayim, that is Pshat in Kavod Shabbos as well, that this is Halachal Moshe Misinai, and Yeshaya happened just to be expressing the Halachal Moshe Misinai. So it's really a din midaraisa. So suggested Mati and Ariel both, that what's Pshat in the Ritva? Truth is, I don't know another way how to read this Ritva, but they both suggested that the Ritva is saying, Perish mitzvah daraisa hi midirei Kabbalah. It's a mitzvah daraisa that's found in Divrei Kabbalah. It was initially Halachal Moshe, it's really a Halachal Moshe Misinai. That there's a chiyuv for a father to marry off his son. Interesting, Rav Shechta and daughter. Rav Shechta thought maybe it's a pashat svara. He thought that maybe it's just part of chinuch. That part of chinuch is the whole idea of chinuch is to prop up your children and provide, lead them on a path of mitzvos. So one of the important parts of a path of mitzvos is to get married. So the part of chinuch is to be involved in your children for them to be able to help them get married, as that's what you're supposed to do for them. So that was interesting. That could also fit with the Ritva as well, but that's a din d'oraisa. Rav Shechter was saying in a little bit different context, not necessarily a chi of d'oraisa. But again, that might not be against the Ritva. That might be a really chi of d'oraisa, even the Ritva is not a chi of, but unclear exactly what to do with that. But something that in the Ritva, there's some background in d'oraisa that either a svar or a lochom or shabizinai, which just Yeshaya, which Yirmiyahu was expressing in the pasuk, yes.
So, right, there's Talmud Torah, which is Banim Lebanos, and then there's the variety of chinuch, which is anyway Drabanos, so I don't get how that would solve.
So is the Chiyuvei chinuch, meaning that your son puts on tefillin,
right. That's
Drabanos, or whatever, not tefillin, that was an example, but your son shakes lulav, that's the Rabban, but is the concept, is that a concept there, Isa? Is the matzah myself?
Right, but then that's Talmud Torah.
Is that even need to say there's a general...
I mean, maybe for value, it's hard to say that.
Right, okay, alright, fair enough. He didn't say, he said it for something else, so we might come back to that. Yeah.
Also,
I mean, this pasuk seems to be talking about for parents. So you know, it certainly it was it's a tzedakah. It's I mean that's we already saw in the sugars of tzedakah that in terms of that that is turning in terms of doing what's the term? We have got a term, but all his needs. Day Machzara, thank you. So doing Day Machzara, so that Befeirus, the Gemara says on Samach Zayin Reveiz, that's part of the idea of Day Machzara. That's certainly viewed as a tzedakah.
We also say that the father was in Russia, so we're going by tzedakah for his children if he refuses to feed them. So we're Kovan because Kovan al tzedakah. So one could also argue very, very similarly. But that doesn't seem to be like.
Can hear me out. Right.
It's a different concept, but just go in that direction.
We definitely said we yell at him to get. So I don't know if we're actually kofa.
If he's an usher, then we're kofa.
So he has to get stuck. Right. All right. Yeah, that would make sense. That makes sense. Yeah, but here's above that. It seems. I don't know how far that would go, if that would actually go to pay. It would go to a minimum nidunya. The truth is, the indication here is that you should give something more significant. I mean, there's a minimum of family for Kashim Zuz. Ideally, we try to give more. Yeah, it's an interesting suggestion. But yeah, it doesn't seem to be what the pasuk the Gemara is going with. So, Al Kapadam, that's the Ritva seems to be saying. It's interesting, the Chazam Sofer thinks even the Rambam holds this. That when the Rambam says Divrei Sofer, and the Rambam really means Chazam Sofer and Chidushim on Shabbos and in the Tshuva, thinks that the Rambam also holds like this Yireim, that it's really Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, V'asa Yishai V'Aschu Akra. But the Pashas is not the way. The other way to say it, as Rav Schefter set it out, is that the Rambam holds in Akdam on the Parish of Rishai, is that he puts together Drashos, Minatora, Divrei Nevi'im, and Yidin D'Rabban, and all is part of it. Torah Shabbat. That all fits into the into the broader category of Torah Shabbat. That's why I call it Divrei Sofer. It's all Torah Shabbat. So you don't necessarily know from the Rambam per se that if he says Divrei Sofer, doesn't necessarily mean it's all the way to Daraisa. Just being Divrei Sofer, Divrei Nevi'im, gets the same categorization as what the Rambam has sometimes with Drashos, but also Min HaTorah. The most famous one being Kiddushei Kesef, as the Kesef Mishnah says, that's Min HaTorah, even though the Rambam says Lashon Divrei Sofrim. Because it all is really the same point that it's all halacha. It's all Torah Shabbat Peh. But anyway, this is the Ritva's Pshat in the Gemara. Seems to be saying this is Din D'Oraisa, the Pshat in the Gemara. The Rambam, however, we already saw the Rambam says Tzivu Chachamim. We read earlier Tzivu Chachamim Sheitena Adam and Chasad Ma'at Levita Kadesh Tinat Tebo. Not like doesn't seem to be saying like the Gemara where that's D'Oraisa. The Rambam says this is a Din D'Rabbanan. It's interesting, in the Sefer Likutim in the back of the Frankel, I saw Rav Emmet also pointed this one out, the Yad Isan in the back of the Gemara, so he suggests that the Tzivu Chachamim should really be interpreted the same as Divrei Sofrim, step number one, and step number two, he says like the Chazam Sofer, basically, and says that it's also Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, and it's just, this was the, you know, Yirmi of Asbuch HaKra. But I asked Rav Schefter what he thought about that. He says it's very hard to say the Tzivu Chachamim. In Divrei Sofrim, the Rambam, we know he used that terminology to refer to Torah Shabbat. But Tzivu Chachamim seemed to be very clearly saying something Derabbanan. And that's the Pashas HaDvarim, is that there's a Din Derabbanan. And that's the Lecha Mishnah. And the Rambam says, and the Gemara has a Pasuk here. The Pasuk, it's a Masmachta from Yirmiyo. It's not even, the Rambam also knows how to say Divrei Kabbalah. Right? As we saw back in Hilchos Shabbos, or Divrei Sofer Mefurashim al Divrei Nevi'im, he knows that express that, he doesn't even say that here, so it really does sound like it's something less. The question is, okay, so that's the Rambam. Now, but I want to go back to address some of Ariel's questions. How do we read the Gemara here in the afternoon base? And some of this will be significant in light of what we just saw, this Machlokes, the Ritva and the Rambam. So the first question, though, before we go anywhere, is what's the big deal about moving around nechassim? What's the Gemara bothered? Okay, so fine, so it's true. Really, you're supposed to give your stuff to your sons. So you're going to give your chazal to give it to your daughters. Are we so moved about chazal moving money from one person to another? Yeah, you just say hefker, beis, and hefker. So what's the Gemara getting all worked up about? But the Gemara Yevama says you can oker davar min haTorah, even in Dina Mamras, you can be oker davar min haTorah because hefker beis it after. And the Gemara Yevama is on pay test, and that's not like no sugi is there. So the Gemara assumes. I was also discussing this with Jared Rosenfeld. So Jared suggested maybe the Gemara is saying, maybe the Gemara is just saying, why would we do this? Meaning, Hefker beis and hefker is not just like random. The beis just decides one day, hey, let's move around the chasen. They're saying, why are you doing this, beis? Why are you applying hefker beis and hefker in this case? So the Gemara is saying, yeah, this is something we want to do. We're into this. We're into having girls get married. So we want to apply hefker beis and hefker here so that the daughters can get married. That's what Jared suggested. But this morning I asked Reb Schefter, and Reb Schefter gave a different pshat, and his pshat. I should have known this because he actually said this in a chavura earlier this year, but I remember part of it. I didn't realize he was talking about this gemara. But if but really, Reb Schefter's pshat goes back to a gemara in Bava Basra, in source number 9, the Mishnah in Bava Basra has the following halacha: Ha'omer ish ploni b'ni b'chor lo yitol pishnayim. If a person says my b'chor should not get pishnayim, ish ploni b'ni lo yirash imecha. He says my son should not be yorish with his other brothers. Lo amar klum. So the Mishnah says, your master mashakas b'torah, if you say that your son shouldn't be yorish. So the Gemara says, is this only like Rebbe Meir? Because Rebbe Yehuda holds, you can be master mashakas b'torah, but darash b'mamon. So the Gemara gives an answer. The Gemara says, no, this is different because of Mechila, Ayin Shem in the Gemara. So it seems to be following the regular rules. However, the Rambam comes up with a whole other reason which the Gemara does not have in Bava Basra. The truth is the Gemara's answer, I'm just about in the middle of the sugi a little bit on Daf Pei Dalid, but the Gemara's answer is highly questionable whether we paskin this way l'maisa, what the Gemara says. So the Rambam comes up with a different answer. So if you look at source 10, Ein adam yachal lahorish l'misha eino roi l'yorisha. You can't be morish to someone who's not your yorish. V'lo l'akra ha'yerusha min ha'yorish. You can't undo, you can't uprooted Yerusha from your Yorish. Aval pish is that mamon who, even though it's mamon, meaning it's darush for mamon, you can be masal mashakas of the Torah. Lefisha ne'amar v'parshas nachlos, since it says in parshas nachlos, v'haisa l'vnei Yisrael l'chukas mishpat. It says about the nachlos that it should be to b'nei Yisrael chukas mishpat. This is source 10 on the back side. Lomar shechukas zo lo nishtane v'ein hatanai moil ba. So it's saying that this is a chukah that should not change, and the Tanai doesn't work. What does this mean exactly? So Reb Schefter thought what the Rambam means is that Nachla is not merely Darsha Mamon. It's a chukas mishpat. It's an Isser V'Heter. This is the way the Torah wants it to be in Dina Isser V'Heter, that it should be that the Yerusha goes to the sons and not to other people, and shouldn't be left, and no one should be left out. Where did the Rambam get this from? So this is the part I had forgotten. I remember the first half of Shefter's Chavura. I forgot this. Shefter said, the mucker for the Rambam is this Gemara, Nun Beis and Beis. Because the Gemara is talking about Yerusha, and the Gemara doesn't mention Hefker, Beis, and Hefker. Isn't that the obvious answer to the question of how they can move the Nachla, they can move the Nechasim from the sons to the daughters? So Shefter said, yeah, the Gemara doesn't say that because it's obvious to the Gemara that you can't say Hefker Beis and Hefker by Yerusha. And why would it be you can't say Hefker Beis and Hefker by Yerusha? So that's because it says Chukas Mishpat. So the Rambam was so bothered by this Kasha in the Gemara that he figured out that it must be that it's a Chukas Mishpat, and with that explained the Mishnah about a Tanai in Bava Basra and Nafkucha Vav on the Beis. That was a Gishmak shot in this Gemara to explain that Mishnah in Bava Basra. So, but okay, but now let's move further again. I don't know if you were alluding to this issue before, Ariel, but is this really violating the Dinda? Are we in violation of the Dinda Raisa here?
It's not a violation. You're catching the Nachla before it becomes the Nachla.
Exactly. You're alive. You can't give him a Matana right now because
the only situation where that wouldn't be true, though, is we say that there's still going to be an Nachla to follow. He dies and never makes any sense. He never specifies anything. So then the daughter gets to take a chit for you. The Rav Chaim got the Yerusha.
Ah, okay, good. So you're saying good. So the Hafwa... No, so the Pesach Pshat we're talking here when the father's alive. I mean, there's no reason to think the father's dead here. And it's that's... Right, right. So you could give a gift with her. So the hafla says, no, you have to say hacham ayaskinan. The hafla, by the way, is the same as Sefer HaMakneh, same author. They only have the makneh on the barilah, not the hafla, so I didn't put the hafla on. But the hafla here on Nun Beis Amud Beis asks this question, and he says, oh, hacham ayaskinan in Nun Beis Amud Beis is really, like you just pointed out, which is our Mishnah, Tzamech Chesam and Aleph, which is talking about a case where the father dies. And we see from there, we take from the nechassim, right? That's the whole discussion in our sugya. Easter nechassim, are you mishai, or how much the father would have given if he was alive? He was a generous person, not a generous person. So that whole discussion in Ksuba Samaches, that's all after the father dies. Says the Hafla, just implant that into the Gemara in Beis and Beis. When the Gemara is asking that question, how can you move the nachal from sons to daughters? It's talking about our Mishnah where the father is already dead. That's what Hafla says. So what's the problem with that? Number one, Rashi doesn't say that. No, Rashi doesn't say here, and really, the Gemara Nun Gimel Amud Aleph has a whole story about a man going to see his mechutan, and them figuring out, Rav Papa going to see his mechutan, they're going to figure out how much to give the daughter, Ayin Shum, and the whole story starting on Nun Beis and Beis going out to Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, but it has the same shock with how it repeats itself over there, and that's clearly talking about where the father is still alive. Rav Papa was going to his mechutan, to the girl's father. So, and to figure out what the Neduni was going to be. So it's clear that it applies even when the father's alive. This is also not going to help you for the Rambam, because if you learn this is only a Din Derabanan, so how is it going to help you move the Nachla L'Achar Mos Ha'af? Right? If you say, like, the Pasha family Mar is Daraisa, like, there is Ba'at to Daraisa, so okay. The Ukimta works of the Hafla, in theory. Practically, it doesn't seem to fit, but in theory, it works. But according to the Rambam, it doesn't even work, because according to the Rambam, it's only Dindar Abanan, so he didn't get you anywhere. So there's a din from the Nevi'im that's not going to be able to ochre dover in a Torah. So al korchach, we have to say. So, well, let's say this. We've been assuming, for now, that it's... that there's no real problem to see if you're alive, yeah, give matan. That's not a problem. So the truth is, there's a Mishnah in Bava Basra that doesn't seem to say that. The Mishnah, if you look at source 12, a kosef es nechasa l'achirim v'hiniach es banav. A person writes off his properties to someone else and leaves his children. Masha asa asui, it works. Ela ein ruach chachamim nocha himenu. The chachamim are not so happy with this behavior. They do not want you giving away all your nechasa. So, the big discussion in Rishonim and Achronim, which we're not going to get into, in terms of parameters, are they really saying an Isser? Are they just giving a recommendation? When does it apply? Lots of details, and the Achronim are actually compared to our Gemara and Subis. Is our Gemara, is a Nedunya violation of that? Maybe, if you look at, there's a story on Daf Nun Gimel, where maybe they're giving away more than they should have been giving away, maybe that's a violation. It's not clear at all whether Nedunya is part of this Mishnah. Maybe yes, maybe no. However, what we do see, though, is that Chazal, it's not just that there's a din d'oraisa, that when you die, your nechassim go to your children. It's also Chazal wanted it to be that way. That this Mishnah is trying to express to us in Bava Basra, that the way it should be is that your sons should have properties to inherit. And it's not really appropriate to give away all your nechassim. At what point in violation of this Mishnah in Bava Basra, so that's a big deal. But it's not appropriate. And that's what the Netziv says, that Pshat in the Gemara here, not really that you're violating Din D'oraisa, but Pshat in the Gemara, when the Gemara says, how could you, if it's supposed to go to the sons, how could you give it to the daughters? Meaning, how could Chazal come and be Mesake, make a formal takana to ensure that you're going to give stuff to your daughters and not to your sons? Basically, Chazal are setting up for you to go against what really they're interested in. That's the Netziv in the Hemek Shela. And Shiltos? How do you say singular Shiltos? Shilta? Okay. Shilta Chaf Aleph. The Netziv there, the Netziv has his, has this har. That's pshat in the Gemara. So okay, so that's how we say the Gemara according to the Rambam in the Pasha reading of the Gemara, is that even though it's in your lifetime and there's still it's not a violation of any din d'oraisa, but the Gemara is still bothered that why would Chazal be masakin something that's clearly against the ratzon of the Torah as expressed in that Mishnah and Daf Kuflam Gimel in Bava Basra. So I think that addresses some of your issues, but there is still one last issue that has to be clarified. And that is, we do have our Mishnah, Dan, you just asked before. Our Mishnah is after, or Ariel asked that, I forgot who asked that, Ariel asked that, but the Mishnah talks about after the father dies. The Rambam has to agree to that Mishnah. So there it is, a din d'oraisa that the father, that the son should be yorish. I mean, we can explain away this Gemara to say there's no problem d'oraisa, and that's why the fact that you have a din d'rabanan can solve that. But how can the Chazal go ahead and apply it even in the case of our Mishnah where you're taking away the nachla from the sons and giving it to the daughters? No, but we said it doesn't work. Hefker doesn't work. 3 years with nachla. So Rav Shechter came through again for me this morning on this one. And Rav Shechter suggested the following. If you look at Tosos on Daf Nun, Amud Beis, is discussing the din of Isur and Chasen. We've been talking about that you're supposed to, the Gemara actually by us says you're supposed to give a tenth. And Tosos' Shita is that you should not give more than a tenth. You should give a tenth and not more than a tenth. Rashi on Samaches, if you remember, you learned the Gemara, Rashi on Samaches holds you can go above or below a tenth. Right? The Gemara says you figure out what the father would have given if he was generous, he was stingy, and Rashi there says explicitly if he was generous, he may have given more than a tenth, if he was stingy, less than a tenth. If you don't know, you give a tenth. But Tosos learns that you cannot give more than a tenth. Why would it be that you can't give more than a tenth? What's the problem? So, I have the Maran Makomos, but we don't have time to look at these marmakomos for this. But Rav Shechter suggested, and if you look carefully in the Lashon of Tosos maybe say, it seems to be Tosos, this might be what Tosos is saying, but basically Rav Shechter suggested the following, that the pshat in the Gemara here, on Nunbez and Nunbez, is really goes back to a Tosos and Yevamos on Dach Peches, where Tosos has a Yesod, Tosos has a Peches and Yevamos, Peches and Yevamos, but Tosos has a Yesod that when you have a Dover Hadomeh, when something is a dover, the Lashon of Tosos here, he says, is dover sheyesh ktsas tam, the last line of the Tosos, dover sheyesh ktsas tam, v'smach lochoshev oker dover min ha-Torah. If it seems to make sense, it's not considered a kiras dover min ha-Torah. How does that work? Conservative Judaism. That's what the Tosos is saying. It doesn't look right, so okay, Chazal can undo it. Chazal don't usually work that way. So Rav Shechter explains, it's based on the whole chilek between I don't remember if we spoke about that this year, but basically Shechter's whole shot is that the limitation on Chazal being Oker Dover Min HaTorah is not so much about Kum Ve'Aseh versus Shei Val Taseh, but it's basically an exception to the rule, a Chiddush Dover. If it's something that's exceptional, totally out of the ordinary, then it's a problem. If it's Shei Val Taseh, it's not a problem. So Chazal told you not to take the shofar, okay, you're not like totally breaking the rules by not doing shofar. You're sitting at home and not taking the shofar. So Shechter suggested the Gemara here on Unbeis and Unbeis is telling us that we see there's an idea that the daughter should be provided for. That's what we see from the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Is that a din d'oraisa? No, but it's understood. That's what he's saying. There's a svara of chinuch. It makes sense that you're supposed to provide for your daughters for them to get married. And therefore, when Chazal came and said, Yerusha, should everything 100% should mean d'oraisa, 100% should be going to the son. Chazal came and said, take Isur Nechasin, take some of that stuff and give it over to your daughters. That doesn't look like a totally out of the ordinary takana from Chazal. It doesn't look like an Akiras Davar. It makes sense. This it's a Davar Hadomen Lios Emes. It makes sense. This fits in with what we generally find in the Torah, from the ideas the Torah is giving us. And therefore, that's what Tosos holds. If you go above 10%, if you start to take half of the property that someone leaves when he dies and give that to the daughter so the daughter can go ahead and get married, that already looks crazy. That doesn't fit in with the Torah. If you take a small amount, up to one-tenth of the nechassim, and you give it over to the daughter, that's not going to be a chiddush davar, that's not going to be a wild, exceptional behavior, and that's not going to be considered a kiras davar min haTorah. So says the Shana, that's pshat here, and Tosos learns in the Gemara, Nun Beis Nun Beis. It's a davar hadoma lios emes. That's the mechanism. It's really akiras davar min haTorah. Yes, it's akiras davar min haTorah. We're quoting the pasuk in Yirmiyah to give us some kind of context that this is something that makes sense, it's something that fits in, and it would not be a problem of being oker davar kumba essay, being oker davar bechidish davar. So as Rav Shechter explained, how the Rambam would fit in with our Mishnah, which has it after the death of the father. Okay, we'll finish the questions after. We have to move on to Marv. Sorry, we got into it here, but yeah, shkoyach.